Pride Day has always been a time for the lesbian, gay, transgender, LGBT communities to stand up with pride in who and how they are in the world, countering the shame that others have so long tried to cast upon them, taking pride in the fullness of humanity. Some of the LGBT folks in the congregation have told me that perhaps it's time for everyone to take pride in all we do, in the fullness of all humanity. Some have wondered aloud to me if the congregation really needs a specifically LGBT group organizing outreach and efforts around gay rights. They feel so comfortable and fully embraced in this church that perhaps you don't need to highlight it in this way any longer. They have something of a point. This congregation has done so much over many years to advocate within and beyond these walls for the rights and a wide embrace of gay folks and gay rights. Much of that work and advocacy came to fruition this year as so many participated in Add the Words protests, some even getting training in civil disobedience and being arrested, becoming, if only briefly, prisoners of conscience. Perhaps you have become the sexual identity, gender expression equivalent of colorblind. One of the highlights of my ministry came this legislative session as I joined local clergy in keeping vigil in the House chambers, bearing witness to our opposition to House Bill 427, which would have allowed businesses to discriminate against GLBT folks. All I had to do is show up in my robe and stole and sit beside my clergy colleagues. We always got a front row seat, and our presence made a powerful statement. There were clergy at every open session the House held. I went once or twice a week, and I was lucky enough to be there on the day the bill was withdrawn. It was almost anticlimactic. So unceremoniously and quietly did Representative Lynn Luker withdraw his bill. We almost missed it. And yet I knew that my presence was part of why it happened. It was truly gratifying and almost as much fun as I've ever had in the ministry. And it was gratifying to see so many people from Booth at Add the Words rallies and vigils, standing proudly behind the Booth banner, standing silently and proudly, hands over mouths, bearing witness, gaining power and sustenance in the surety of a righteous cause. So this Sunday, there is much to take pride in. So take some time today and in the week ahead to soak it all in. Take pride. You deserve to. And yet, also know that our work is not yet done. Dr. King told us that the moral arc of the universe is long. And yet sometimes we have the rare and heady experience of watching it bend toward justice, being part of the bending itself. I imagine taking hold of that moral arc and just bending it ever so slightly myself with my own hands. And still, our work is not yet done. There is not yet full marriage equality in this state or in the land. That is coming. Not quite soon enough, perhaps, but I am confident it is coming soon. And yet, even when it does, our work is not yet done. I know that I have work yet to do in my own heart. Let me give you an example. It is a small one, and yet I think it exemplifies the subtler work that we must also address. I was working remotely with a person named Galen, who is creating a website for me, and whom I have never actually met, and at this time had not even spoken to on the phone. In one email, Galen wrote to me, "I can't do any work on the website until Monday because my husband and I are going to the coast for the weekend." The email made me shake my head for a moment. I said to myself, "I thought Galen was a man." Yet names being what they are, perhaps Galen is a woman. Do you see where I got tripped up? I still automatically assume that a couple consists of a husband and a wife. So if Galen had a husband, Galen must be a woman. He's not. He's just married to a man. My interior and often my exterior world is still heteronormative. For me, two husbands and two wives can take still a moment or two for my mind to catch up to. When I speak of couples now, I try to avoid this trap, and it feels a little awkward at times, but I do it anyway. When speaking of two people who are partnered, I will say something like that, like this. I know a couple, a man and a woman, and the man did this or the woman said that. And it still feels a little awkward to do this, but at least I am not making heteronormative assumptions and not letting you necessarily do it either. Here is where my work lies, I know, in my heart. And it is work that we still, most of us, have yet to do. I must understand and acknowledge my privilege. And I must not assume that my experience is the normative and original experience, while all the others is not, is different, is other. For I am a white, straight, cisgender woman from an affluent and highly educated background. This puts me in a position of great privilege in our culture. Now, I suspect that some of you, at least, haven't heard the term cisgender before. The word is relatively newly coined, perhaps in the last 20 years. To describe people whose gender appearance and expression match their physical gender. It was derived from the Latin cis, meaning on this side of, in response to trans, meaning across from or on the other side of. And so there are cisgender people in the world and transgender people in the world. To not make this distinction is to have one experience seem normative and the other experience seem non-normative, different, and other. And really, the truth is that all of it are simply ways of being human. Indeed, we are coming to understand that gender is not an either-or kind of thing. Rather, it is a continuum or a great big circle swirling spiral. There are so many ways that we can express and live both gender and sexuality. I know I walk through the world with great privilege. Privilege that can, whether I intend it to or not, be oppressive to people outside of my privilege. When I assume that my own experience and human expression is the norm, I automatically leave others out. I don't mean to. Yet unless I am paying close attention, far too often I don't even notice it. That is part of my privilege. I don't have to notice it. When I assume that my experience is normative, it communicates to those who don't share my experience that they are somehow other. Could it be that the very beating of my heart can cause harm? It is challenging and painful to think it, but it is sometimes true. My work as a straight ally of the LGBT community is to acknowledge my privileged position and to do my own consciousness raising and help other straight folks do the same. For here is the thing about our justice work. Our goal is not to become a colorblind society. It is not to make us unnoticing of diversity and differences. Rather, our work is to recognize and celebrate diversity and its great gifts to us all, and be vigilant that it is never the reason for discrimination or bias, or worse, harassment and violence. We have come a long, long way from the 1970s when Armistead Maupin wrote Michael's Letter, which you all sang so powerfully and beautifully for us. And yet, the LGBT community still faces discrimination, harassment, and sometimes horrifying violence. I want to live in a society. I want to help create a society that recognizes the gifts that all people bring forth, the gifts and wisdom of their culture and experience, even if it means that I have to change something about my own culture and experience. In fact, it is a great gift to me to have things held up that I can examine. I want to live in that world where no one is afraid to bring forth and express who they are. To be colorblind or sexual orientation blind or gender expression blind would diminish the gifts of our differences. So may this be a day for us all to take pride in all we have done, in all our humanity, and the embrace of diversity that is our highest calling. As humans, as the gentle, angry, loving people we are, and may we also continue to bear religious witness to all that is broken and blessed in the world. This year, Boof almost didn't have a presence at the Pride Parade and Festival, which is next Saturday. The Rainbow Outreach Coalition has largely gone dormant, I suspect because I think it needs to morph into something else, change its focus, transition the work it does. This congregation is a very, very welcoming place for people of all sexual orientations and gender expression, and lots of people were happily showing up at the Capitol protests and vigils. Perhaps everyone was assuming that your presence at Pride was a given. Yet a few weeks ago, the staff and I realized that there was no one organizing around Pride, and you were in danger of having no one there this next week, which would be a little ironic given the year that it has been. You all need to celebrate as much or more than protest. Boof needs to be at Pride to take pride. Now, You are very well known in the larger community for this work that you do, which is all the more important for the presence to be there at Pride. Let me just tell you, the next, I think, highlight of my ministry may well be that because of you and your work, I have been invited to speak at the first Pride celebration at Mountain Home Air Force Base. Yeah. It's so cool. And it's June 30th and the very last day that I am working. And I couldn't possibly say no. I could not possibly say no. I'm very excited about this. And thank you. Thank you. So there is much to take pride in. And there is, you know, and what has also happened is that we did actually put out some emails and pay the fees for having a booth and marching in the parade. There is still a line in the budget for this. And people have responded and will be marching and staffing a booth. Though we could use 3 or 4 more people for the booth. The information about who to contact around that is in your bulletin. And as many, many, many people as possible marching in the parade next Saturday. And all that information is in the bulletin. Be proud. Be truly proud of all you have accomplished. Be proud of your welcoming legacy. And do not rest on your laurels. There is much yet for us all to do in the world and in our hearts. I do not know what your organized efforts around LGBT outreach need to look like, yet someone does need to still lead in this area in this way. For here's something critical to not forget. For being a congregation where people can bring their whole selves, families in all configurations, is more than just a good thing. It is a life-saving thing. You save lives, literally, by embracing this work. And being a welcoming congregation means more than simply accepting people of many diversities, including people of all sexual identities and gender expression. It means that we all have to look deeply into our own privileges and see how our own attitudes and behaviors can be even more welcoming. We must continue to stand on the side of love. We must continue to embrace the fullness of all our humanity. For that is ultimately our journey. Being fully human means embracing the whole of our own and others' living experience. Being fully human means acknowledging the effect that our lives have on others. Being fully human means honoring the many diversities found in our own hearts and in this community. Being fully human means continuing to find deeper ways to stand on the side of love, to bear religious witness to all life. Go forth. Be human. Take pride. Amen, and blessed be.